With Montana News, I'm Bo Baker. The Montana legislature is reviewing its sexual harassment policy after accusations of sexual misconduct led to the downfall of other lawmakers across the country. A legislative rule prohibits harassment of legislators and legislative employees and sets guidelines for reporting inappropriate behavior. The Legislative Council reviewed the policy at a recent meeting in Bozeman to consider whether they needed to make any changes. Susan Byrith Fox with the Legislative Services Division told lawmakers there had been no formal complaints of sexual misconduct. Republicans suggested sexual misconduct wasn't really an issue at the Montana legislature, and the heightened awareness after the news of the last several months would keep things that way. Democrats argued training on the rule should be mandatory, and lobbyists also should be required to attend the training. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service says the Canada lynx may have recovered to the point where it could be delisted as a threatened species. Yellowstone Public Radio's Nate Hedgie reports.
The elusive cat was first listed as threatened nearly 20 years ago. Since then, Jennifer Strickland with the Fish and Wildlife Service says the federal government has done a good job of protecting and expanding lynx-friendly habitat.
A lot of the lynx populations, especially here in the West, it's all on public lands. So when our federal partners like the Forest Service and the BLM undertake conservation actions that benefit the lynx, that's what we were looking at. And so that's a big part of the good news today.
Until final approval, the Canada lynx will remain on the threatened species list. It lives in northwestern Montana, northeastern Idaho, Wyoming, and other states. But some conservation organizations say it's too soon to delist the lynx. Arlene Montgomery is the program director for Friends of the Wild Swan in northwestern Montana.
I don't think that the threats to lynx have been taken care of. In fact, I believe there are more threats since the lynx were listed in 2000.
Those threats, she says, include more people encroaching in lynx habitat and climate change. Fish and Wildlife Service experts say climate change remains an important factor for the conservation of lynx, but it's not enough to make the animals extinct. I'm Nate Hedgie, Yellowstone Public Radio.
With Montana News, I'm Olga Kramer. Today was the first day Montana's political candidates could begin filing for state and national legislative primaries in June. 145 candidates filed. That's a record number of candidates to file on the first day of a non-presidential election year, according to the Secretary of State's office, beating the number in 2014 by 7. All of Montana's 100 House seats and half of its 50 state Senate seats are up for elections in 2018, as is Montana's senior Senate seat and its one seat in the U.S. House. Businessman Troy Downing of Big Sky and State Auditor Matt Rosendale are among the Republicans who have said that they will challenge Tester. Several Democratic candidates plan to challenge Gianforte, including Billings attorney John Heenan, former nonprofit director Grant Keir of Missoula, and Linda Moss of Billings. At a press conference in Helena today, Democratic leaders introduced some of their newly filed state legislative candidates. Margaret Gorski is running for House District 88.
It's time for a Democrat to represent Valley County.
Montana Democrats report they have recruited 80 candidates they expect to file this week. Half are women, 13 are Native American, and 14 are under the age of 35. More than half of the Democrats who filed today were not incumbents. Democratic Senator Jen Gross of Billings, whose term is not up this year, said public engagement had produced a strong crop of candidates.
Across the country and across our state, grassroots energy has inspired people to stand up and take action.
On the other side of the aisle, a large majority of the 49 Republican candidates who filed today were incumbents. Republicans have controlled the state legislature for 6 years. In a press release from the Montana Republican Party today, Chairman Deborah Lamb described the party's intent to create more jobs, raise wages, limit regulations, and reduce government size. Registration continues through 5 p.m. on March 12th for the June 5th primary. Candidates can register in person, online, or by mail. An 11th-hour attempt to save a building designed by Frank Lloyd Wright in Whitefish failed late yesterday afternoon. Nikki Willett reports its demolition makes it the first usable Wright design to be torn down in more than 4 decades.
A half dozen people milled around the south end of Whitefish's downtown strip yesterday evening to watch an excavator bite into Wright's Lock Ridge Medical Clinic. Owner Mick Ruiz had agreed to sell the former clinic Wright designed for $1.6 million he bought it for, plus additional expenses he's incurred related to the building since then, if he could have a substantial deposit in hand by late yesterday. Local and national groups worked for the past year to find a buyer, but they couldn't satisfy Ruiz's terms. Cher Justo heads the Montana Preservation Alliance.
We're losing a treasure. Frank Lloyd Wright is, you know, arguably the greatest American architect who ever lived. And to just tear that building down to build some nondescript mixed-use commercial building because whitefish is growing is a sad, sad thing to witness.
Ruiz has said he didn't know the significance of the building when he announced plans to replace it with a three-story commercial building in 2016. Ruiz's lawyer told MTPR he was not seeking to make a profit from the sale, but only wanted to recover his purchase price and additional costs. He says the city of Whitefish approved demolition plans and that the building has been on the market for a year. Wright designed the Lock Ridge Medical Clinic in 1958, just a year before he died. It was one of four medical clinics he blueprinted during his seminal career. In Whitefish, I'm Nikki Ouellette, Montana Public Radio.